Rosh Chag, I asked, were you in a Riyah for Shir? Because that's like the doorway to my Shir, the Pesach. But Baruch Hashem, it's not just him, Rabbi David, all the Rebbeim here, the Shana Alef Rebbeim, incredible Rebbeim, and I really want to tell you guys how much of a schus you have, and that's really what I want to speak about tonight. And today, I want to speak about this wonderful opportunity that you guys have in this year, at this point in time, during the year. So just to connect to the Inyan Diyoma, to the Parsha, we're just laying Parshas Vayetze. And, you know, it's interesting. You could always tell a lot about a person's personality based on what they put underneath their mattress or underneath their pillow when they go to sleep. Some people put tomorrow or the next day's pajamas just to be mesuder, to have everything accessible. I remember there was a little bit of a stage that I used to make sure I used to like to sleep in the morning. When I was like in elementary school, I used to go to sleep in my clothing and my sneakers so that like I would hear the horn, boom, outside, and I'd be ready to go. So people like being masuder and putting their pajamas underneath their pillows. Some people like they feel more secure if they put their money underneath their mattresses. And unfortunately, we're in a time that now people keep weapons underneath their pillows, their mattresses. But I never heard of anyone that folded up all of Eretz Yisrael and put it underneath their mattress before they went to sleep. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this past week's parasha, performs a nes, and he takes all of Eretz Yisrael and he folds it up into pieces and he puts it right underneath Yaakov Avinu, who's sitting there and sleeping. Why is he doing it? Just another magic trick. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing off to Yaakov Avinu, look what I could do. I can fold up all of Eretz Yisrael and I could put it underneath you. So Rashi tells us, Yaakov, I want to tell you something. The reason why I'm folding up all of Eretz Yisrael is to demonstrate to you that it's no chalikavish, that this is a very simple land to conquer. Now, I don't need to tell you guys about what happened in the news last week. That's a hard Rashi to read after all those missiles are being sent, and Eretz Yisrael is not so simple, likavish. So what's going on here? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this shtick? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing this magic trick and putting all of our Eretz Yisrael, folding all Eretz Yisrael, and placing it under Yaakov Avinu? So this is an incredible idea that Rav Soloveitchik explains. Based on a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in the sixth parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam tells us that in Jewish history, there were two different times that Klal Yisrael took hold of the land and inhabited Eretz Yisrael. There was Ole Mitzrayim, which was with the leader Yehoshua, which ultimately came from an original ascent from Mitzrayim. That was what was called in Halacha, Kedusha Rishona, the first time Am Yisrael entered into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And then there was Ole Bavel. Then there was after the second Golos, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the first time, when Ezra came up with the Jews and took hold of Eretz Yisrael the second time. But there was a distinction in Halacha between Klal Yisrael inhabiting the land in the first Kedusha as opposed to the second Kedusha. The Rambam tells us that when it came to the Ole Mitzrayim, the original inhabiting of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Rishona, the first Kedusha, the first sanctity, that the Eretz Yisrael got its land, that it got its Kedusha, and it was endowed its Kedusha, Kidsha L'Shaita was a temporary Kedusha, V'loy Kidsha L'Asulavu. But it didn't have a lasting impact. It didn't have this ability to stay forever. However, says the Rambam, the second Kedusha, when the Jews came up from Bavel, Kidsha L'Shaita, the Kidsha L'Asulavu. Now, if you would ask me, without knowing anything else, just which was more of a parade, which was more impressive, I would think the first Aliyah with Yehoshua and all of Am Yisrael. Ezra's Aliyah was a little bit more, it was not impressive. It was a little bit depressing. Not even all of Klal Yisrael came up. And yet, that's the Kedusha, that's the sanctity that what?
that's endowed forever, that's kitshul l'shaita v'kitshul l'asalavo, that's what's going to last forever. So why? What's the difference? So there is one difference, historically, the way the Kedusha took place, the way it was attained. In the first Kedusha, Yoshua conquered the land. It was kibush v'chilu. There were actually wars. And in the second Kedusha, when it came to Ezra, there was no army. There was no conquering. There was no kibush. It was just taking hold of the land. It's called hachazok. We moved in. We moved into an apartment. We moved into a new house. We moved in to Eretz Yisrael. So on the one hand, Rav Soloveitchik explained that it makes sense. A Kedusha that was endowed based on kibush, based on conquering, so that the second you lose sovereignty over that land, so then you're gone, you're done. You're no longer the ruler over here. And if you're only moving into this place because you're showing your powerful hand, the second that that's done, you're no longer going to retain that Kedusha. Yet it doesn't fully explain why is the second Kedusha more supreme. Why does the second Kedusha, when they moved in, when they took hold of it, why does that have the lasting effect? So Soloveitchik said there's a simple distinction. When you analyze where Am Yisrael went to in their approach in Eretz Yisrael, so Ezra, the first area that he went to when he came into Eretz Yisrael was the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Whereas Yoshua, we know, had to conquer. And because he had to conquer, so it was a slow and steady approach. Ultimately, Yoshua was able to conquer Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash. But that wasn't the first area that the Kedusha was endowed. So said Rav Soloveitchik, that's exactly the answer to why the Kedusha of Ezra had a lasting effect as opposed to the Kedusha of Yoshua, which did the right thing. I'm not trying to say Yoshua was wrong. But ultimately, it was only temporary in its nature. See, because Yoshua went to Haifa first, went to Tel Aviv, and ultimately went to Yerushalayim. But the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was not based off of Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash. Whereas the Kedusha Shnia was all focused on the Makom HaMikdash. It was basically deciding that this is going to be the core of Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be the epicenter. This is going to be the Makdish, the entity that's going to endow Kedusha into the rest of the land. Think about a Havdolikos. You pour a Havdolikos, it flows over. So that was Eretz Yisrael. All the other lands were given their Kedusha from that original area. That is a Kedusha that will always remain. Why? Because the Rambam tells us, in all of Jewish history, if you look at that same Rambam in Parak Vav Hilchos Bechira, Beis HaBechira, the Rambam tells us, there's one area that never lost its Kedusha ever, even initially. And where was that? The Beis HaMikdash. Why, says the Rambam? I'll explain to you why. Sheashchina eina b'teila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence can never be nullified. That can never cease to exist. So came along Ezra, and Ezra introduced a new way of being Makdish the land. Let's take this area of Makom HaMikdash, let's take this area of Yerushalayim, which is a function of what? Of Kedushas HaShechina, and then let's bring that outward and let's extend it to all the other lands. If that's the case, Ezra had a chap. He now made sure that even the rest of the land, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, its Kedusha would be from inside outward, instead of from being outside inward. And therefore, that idea, that concept of Hashras HaShechina, of HaShechina Eina B'Teila, was now extracted from the Makom HaMikdash and now delivered and extended to all around Eretz Yisrael. And that automatically became, just like Beis HaMikdash, a Kedusha that was a Kedusha L'Shaita V'Kidsha L'Asilavo, and that Kedusha will exist forever and ever. Rabosai, listen to what Rav Soloveitchik brought a proof to in our parsha that we just read. Yaakov Avinu, at this episode, is having a very difficult time. Rabbi say, think about Yaakov's life. Yaakov Avinu, right now, is running away from a brother that wants to murder him. Okay? Yaakov Avinu just was mekabel, he received brachos from his father with a fake ID. He didn't even know who he was. He's about to run to a father-in-law that's going to mess him up like any father-in-law has messed up any guy. It's unbelievable what he's about to face. And that's just the external struggles. In this week's parasha, next week's parasha, the internal struggles start. The brothers that are fighting. And internally in this family system is collapsing. And Yaakov Avinu, what happens to Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu, who's pushing hard. He's been staying on Mishmar for how long? For 14 years. Try that, guys. 14 years. And what happens? He just runs out of energy. Chazal tell us, it's just he got to a point. Shena. She falls asleep. You know, the Sfarim HaKadoshim speak about Shena, sleep, sometimes being a source of depression. You just want to put the covers on your head. You don't want to face the world. And you just, you're out of energy. You're on empty. You just can't go on. And Yaakov Avinu collapses. And Yaakov Avinu falls asleep this first time that he falls asleep. And he's thinking in his head, for what? What's the purpose? It's all going to be nullified. It's all going to go away. I don't understand my bro. Eventually my bro's going to catch up with me. My father's going to figure out who I was. My kids are going to kill each other. My father-in-law is going to mess me up. I'm not even going to get married. Why? What's the purpose? It's kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel v'loy kitchel asalava. Yaakov says, how do I know that Yiddishkeit is going to prevail? How do I know that there's going to be a future? How do I know that this is the right path, that this is going to be successful? It seems so dark. Yaakov turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time when he goes to sleep. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Takes Eretz Yisrael. He folds it all up and puts it where, guys? Where did he put it? Where was Yaakov Avinu sleeping? Does anyone know? Har Moriah. Mokum HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, folded it up, and put it on the Yaakov's mattress, guys. He said, you want to know what's the proof? That we're always going to exist. That it's not going to be a temporary Kedusha. That we're going to be around forever. I'm going to take Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to show you Kedushas Ezra. I'm going to show you Kedusha Shnia. I'm going to show you that there's a capability that even though it looks dark around, and even though right now we don't have Eretz Yisrael in our full capacity, but there's going to be a kid shalosid lovo. The land is still endowed with Kedusha. If it's a function of the Shechina and you stay on this path, Yaakov Avinu, you'll see, it will be successful. You know why? Because it's Shechina, Eina, Betela. Because if it's all emanating from outside the Mikdash, if Eretz Yisrael is all on top of where? That one area, and it starts from there, from the core, then it will never cease to exist. Then you'll see. You'll always exist, even if it's going to defy odds, which is the right. We're all here. We're all great-grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, which everyone would expect would have never happened. We defied all odds because of Shechina. Because Shechina in Abitela. Because the Kedusha emanated from the Makom HaMikdash. Because Eretz Yisrael had a connection to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yisai, this is a very important message. For Kedushas Haaretz, for what we believe in, and what we celebrate about this land, and our allegiance to the land, and our connection to the land, that it all stems from a place called Yerushalayim, from a place called Mikdash, and it's always linked to Torah and Mitzvahs, as Rabbi Ifra can tell you much more about. But Rabosai, it's also true on our personal levels, in our lives. You know, this is true about a Makom. But the Svarim HaKadoshim explained that there are different dimensions in the world. There's Olam Shana Nefesh. There's the Olam, the area, but then there's time, and then there's my personal experience. This idea, I think, exists in each and every one of our lives. You see, sometimes you can go to shul and you could doubt it. Why? Because I'm a Jew and that's what I need to do. Or I can go to Seder and I can learn and I can get into it this year because that's what we do. We take that year off and we get into it and we learn and we shuckle a little bit and we have a good experience. But you could do that same thing and you could do it not because you're a Jew, but because you're Jewish. Because that's what gives you life. That's what gives you chiyus. That's your core. That's what gives you gasoline and energy for the rest of the day. There was a guy who called me this week. He's a Talmud of mine. He's in investment banking. And he's very, very busy. And he tells me that he leaves a gemara at his desk because he doesn't have time right now to have his regular starim that he used to have in yeshiva. And he says to me, I try whenever it's a little bit of a low point, there isn't busy, there aren't a lot of calls coming in, so I try to learn. So I said, that's unbelievable. But just learn with the following mentality. Don't learn the same as that time. I didn't tell him to increase his amount of time. Don't learn because you have to learn. Don't learn because I got to check off a box. Learn because that's what's going to transform my day. That's what's going to give me fuel for the rest of the day. That's what's going to give me energy for the rest of my existence. The same practice, the same avoda could be from outside in or from inside out. You can approach Eretz Yisrael from the Mokum Ashchina. You did the same exact thing. But I did it. I extracted it out from Yerushalayim. That's a Kedusha that's going to be everlasting. That's a Kedusha that's never going to be nullified. And yet if I do it just to check off, it's another place, it's another area, it's another place that we conquered. So then the second we lose sovereignty on that land, it's not going to happen. Rabosai, when we go to davening, when we're involved in mitzvahs, when we're involved in learning, make it that's the center. That's the core. Even if it's not additional time. That's my chiyus. This is my energy. That's where everything else in my life is going to be sprouting from. That's what's going to be the makdish, the sanctifier of my life. Then, Kadosh Baruch Hu's telling you, that's a kedusha that will last forever. That's an experience that you will have for the rest of your lives. Rabosai, the Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash of your lives, are both saying, I'm jealous of you, is right here, right now. With people rebbeim like this, with role models like this, and all your other rebbeim and Rosh Yeshivas, this is the highlight of your life. Take advantage of every second, but make it seconds that are going to be the fuel. That this is going to be what's sanctifying me. My life for the rest of the time that I'm not going to have this opportunity. We're Mirtz Hashem going to learn together in yeshiva, but we're not going to be as impressive as Rabbi Ephraim. We'll be almost. We'll try. But Rabosai, I just want to give you that message. Take advantage of every second. When you have the ability to learn, when you have the ability of Avodas Hashem, make it that's the core, that's the focal point, that's the makdish of the rest of my life. And you'll see, Mirtz Hashem, it'll change your life forever. Because I, internally, the rest of the year, Chanukah is a time, it's a turning point. I was talking to some of the guys at dinner last night. Chanukah was the first time Shana Aleph that I actually started learning Gemara. And then, guys were saying even Shana Bet. Chanukah is a time that lights spark, that there's an illumination in our life. There's something happening. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a little bit of a gift to light up your life during Chanukah. So now, Mirtz Hashem, if you take those lights and make sure that's going to be transformative in your life, Mirtz Hashem, that'll be a Kedusha. A Kedusha l'shaita v'kidsha l'asulov. You'll attain that Kedusha for the rest of your life. And I give you bracha that you should, Mirtz Hashem, have a beautiful rest of the year. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll connect next year, hopefully all together. And we'll shmooze. And if anyone has any questions about the yeshiva, please, more than welcome to talk about whatever is on your mind, and hopefully look forward to connecting.